off, but it was too fast.
I saw it, said Luke, his voice flat. I was driving up to the house and I saw you crossing the lawn, and then I saw it following you, in the shadows at your heels. I tried to yell out the window to you, but you didn't hear me. Then it knocked you down.
What was following her? Asked Clary.
It was a Drevac demon, said Luke, his voice grim. They're blind. They track by smell. I drove the car up onto the lawn and crushed it.
Clary glanced out the window at the truck. The thing that had been twitching under the wheels was gone. Unsurprisingly, demons always returned to their home dimensions when they died. Why would it attack Maya? She dropped her voice as a thought occurred to her. Do you think it was Valentine? Looking for werewolf blood for his spell? He got interrupted the last time.
I don't think so, Luke said to her surprise. Drevac demons aren't bloodsuckers, and they definitely couldn't cause the kind of mayhem you saw in the Silent City. Mostly they're spies and messengers. I think Maya just got in its way.
He bent to look at Maya, who was moaning softly, her eyes closed.
Can you pull your sleeve up so I can see your shoulder?
The werewolf girl bit her lip and nodded, then reached over to roll up the sleeve of her sweater. There was a long gash just below her shoulder. Blood had dried to a crust on her arm. Clary sucked her breath in as she saw that the jagged red cut was lined with what looked like thin black needles poking grotesquely out of the skin. Maya stared down at her arm in obvious horror.
What are those?
Drevac demons don't have teeth. They have poisonous spines in their mouths, Luke said. Some of the spines have broken off in your skin.
Maya's teeth had begun to chatter.
Poison? Am I gonna die?
Not if we work fast, Luke reassured her. I'm going to have to pull them out, though, and it's going to hurt. Do you think you can handle it?
Maya's face was contorted into a grimace of pain. She managed to nod.
Just get them out of me.
Get what out? Asked Simon,
coming into the room with a rolled-up blanket. He dropped the blanket when he saw Maya's arm and took an involuntary step back.
What are those?
Squeamish about blood, Mundane? Maya said with a small, twisted smile. Then she gasped.
Oh, it hurts.
I know, Luke said, gently wrapping the towel around the lower part of her arm.
From his belt, he drew a thin-bladed knife. Maya took a look at the knife and squeezed her eyes shut.
Do what you have to, she said in a small voice. But I don't want the others watching.
I understand.
Luke turned to Simon and Clary.
Go in the kitchen, both of you, he said. Call the Institute. Tell them what's happened and have them send someone. They can't send one of the brothers, so preferably someone with medical training or a warlock.
Simon and Clary stared at him, paralyzed by the sight of the knife and Maya's slowly purpling arm.
Go,
he said more sharply, and this time they went. Chapter 12. The Hostility of Dreams. Simon watched Clary as she leaned against the refrigerator, biting her lip like she always did when she was upset. Often he forgot how small she was, how light-boned and fragile. But at times like this, times when he wanted to put his arms around her, he was restrained by the thought that holding her too hard might hurt her, especially now when he no longer knew his own strength. Jace, he knew, didn't feel that way. Simon had watched with a sick feeling in his stomach, unable to look away, as Jace had taken Clary in his arms and kissed her with such force Simon had thought one or the both of them might shatter. He'd held her as if he wanted to crush her into himself, as if he could fold the two of them into one person. Of course Clary was strong, stronger than Simon gave her credit for. She was a shadow hunter, with all that entailed, but that didn't matter. What they had between them was still as fragile as a flickering candle flame, as delicate as eggshell. And he knew that if it shattered, if he somehow let it break and be destroyed, something inside him would shatter too, something that could never be fixed. Simon. Her voice brought him back down to earth. Simon, are you listening to me?
What?
Yes, I am, of course.
He leaned against the sink, trying to look as if he'd been paying attention. The tap was dripping, which momentarily distracted him again. Each silvery drop of water seemed to shimmer, tear-shaped and perfect, just before it fell. Vampire sight was a strange thing, he thought. His attention kept getting caught by the most ordinary things, the glitter of water, the flowering cracks in a bit of pavement, the sheen of oil on a road, as if he'd never seen them before.
"Simon," Clary said again, exasperated.
He realized she was holding something pink and metallic out to him, her new cell phone.
"I said I want you to call Jace."
That snapped him back to attention. "Me call him? He hates me."
"No, he doesn't," she said, though he could tell from the look in her eyes that she only half believed that. "Anyway, I don't want to talk to him, please."
"Fine."
He took the phone from her and scrolled through to Jace's number.
"What do you want me to say?"
"Just tell him what happened. He'll know what to do."
Jace picked up the phone on the third ring, sounding out of breath.
"Clary?"
he said, startling Simon until he realized that, of course, Clary's name would have popped up on Jace's phone.
"Clary, are you all right?"
Simon hesitated. There was a tone in Jace's voice he'd never heard before, an anxious concern devoid of sarcasm or defense. Was that how he spoke to Clary when they were alone? Simon glanced at her. She was watching him with wide green eyes, biting unselfconsciously on her right index fingernail.
"Clary," Jace said, "I thought you were avoiding me."
A flash of irritation shot through Simon.
"You're her brother," he wanted to shout down the phone line. "That's all. You don't own her. You've got no right to sound so broken-hearted."
That was the word, though he'd never thought of Jace as having a heart to break.
"You were right," he said finally, his voice cold. "She still is. This is Simon."
There was such a long silence that Simon wondered if Jace had dropped the phone.
"Hello? I'm here."
Jace's voice was crisp and cool as autumn leaves, all vulnerability gone.
"If you're calling me up just to chat mundane, you must be lonelier than I thought. Believe me, I wouldn't be calling you if I had a choice. I'm doing this because of Clary."
"Is she all right?"
Jace's voice was still crisp and cool, but with an edge to it now, autumn leaves frosted with the sheen of hard ice.
"If something's happened to her..."
"Nothing's happened to her."
Simon fought to keep the anger out of his voice. As briefly as he could, he gave Jace a rundown of the night's events and Maya's resultant condition. Jace waited until he was done, then rapped out a set of short instructions. Simon listened in a daze and found himself nodding before realizing that, of course, Jace couldn't see him. He began to speak and realized he was listening to silence. The other boy had hung up. Wordlessly, Simon flipped the phone shut and handed it to Clary.
"He's coming here."
She sagged against the sink.
"Now?"
"Now. Magnus and Alec will be with him."
"Magnus?"
she said dazedly. And then,
"Oh, of course. Jace would have been at Magnus's. I was thinking he was at the Institute, but of course he wouldn't have been there. I..."
A harsh cry from the living room cut her off. Her eyes widened. Simon felt the hair on his neck stand up like wires.
"It's all right," he said as soothingly as he could. "Luke wouldn't hurt Maya."
"He is hurting her. He has no choice," Clary said. She was shaking her head. "That's how it always is these days. There's never any choice."
Maya cried out again, and Clary gripped the edge of the counter as if she were in pain herself.
"I hate this," she burst out. "I hate all of it. Always being scared, always being hunted, always wondering who's going to get hurt next. I wish I could go back to the way things used to be."
"But you can't. None of us can," Simon said. "At least you can still go out in daylight."
She turned to him, lips parted, her eyes wide and dark.
"Simon, I didn't mean..."
"I know you didn't."
He backed away, feeling as if there were something caught in his throat.
"I'm going to see how they're doing."
For a moment, he thought she might follow him, but she let the kitchen door fall shut between them without protest. All the lights were on in the living room. Maya lay gray-faced on the couch, the blanket he had brought pulled up to her chest. She was holding a wad of cloth against her right arm. The cloth was partly soaked through with blood. Her eyes were shut.
"Where's Luke?"
Simon said, then winced, wondering if his tone was too harsh, too demanding. She looked awful. Her eyes sunken into gray hollows, her mouth tight with pain. Her eyes fluttered open and fixed on him.
"Simon," she breathed. "Luke went outside to move the car off the lawn. He was worried about the neighbors."
Simon glanced toward the window. He could see the sweep of the headlights grazing the house as Luke swung the car into the driveway.
How about you? He asked. Did he get those things out of your arm?
She nodded dully. I'm just so tired, she whispered through cracked lips. And thirsty.
I'll get you some water.
There was a pitcher of water and a stack of glasses on the sideboard next to the dining room table. Simon poured a glass full of the tepid liquid and brought it to Maya. His hands were shaking slightly, and some of the water spilled as she took the glass from him. She was lifting her head about to say something, thank you, probably, when their fingers touched, and she jerked back so hard that the glass went flying. It hit the edge of the coffee table and shattered, splashing water across the polished wood floor.
Maya, are you all right?
She shrank away from him, her shoulders pressed against the back of the sofa, her lips pulled away from bared teeth. Her eyes had gone a luminous yellow. A low growl came from her throat, the sound of a cornered dog at bay.
Maya, Simon said again, appalled. Vampire, she snarled.
He felt his head rock back as if she had slapped him.
Maya, I thought you were human, but you're a monster, a blood-sucking leech. I am human. I mean, I was human. I got turned a few days ago.
His mind was swimming. He felt dizzy and sick,
just like you were. Don't ever compare yourself to me.
She had struggled up into a sitting position, those ghastly yellow eyes still on him, scouring him with their disgust. I'm still human, still alive. You're a dead thing that feeds on blood.
Animal blood?
Just because you can't get human, or the shadow hunters will burn you alive.
Maya, he said,
and her name in his mouth was half fury and half a plea. He took a step toward her and her hand whipped out, nails shooting out like talons, suddenly impossibly long. They raked his cheek, sending him staggering back, his hand clapped to his face. Blood coursed down his cheek into his mouth. He tasted the salt of it and his stomach rumbled. Maya was crouched on the sofa's arm now, her knees drawn up, clawed fingers leaving deep gouges in the gray velveteen. A low growl poured from her throat and her ears were long and flat against her head. When she bared her teeth, they were sharply jagged, not needle-thin like his own, but strong, whitely pointed canines. She had dropped the bloody cloth that had wrapped her arm, and he could see the punctures where the spines had gone in, the glimmer of blood welling, spilling. A sharp pain in his lower lip told him that his fangs had slid from their sheaths. Some part of him wanted to fight her, to wrestle her down and puncture her skin with his teeth, to gulp her hot blood. The rest of him felt as if it were screaming. He took a step back and then another, his hands out as if he could hold her back. She tensed to spring, just as the door to the kitchen flew open and Clary burst into the room. She leaped onto the coffee table, landing lightly as a cat. She held something in her hand, something that flashed a bright white silver when she raised her arm. Simon saw that it was a dagger, as elegantly curved as a bird's wing, a dagger that whipped past Maya's hair millimeters from her face and sank to the hilt in gray velveteen. Maya tried to pull away and gasped. The blade had gone through her sleeve and pinned her to the sofa. Clary yanked the blade back. It was one of Luke's. The moment she'd cracked the kitchen door and gotten a look at what was going on in the living room, she'd made a beeline for the personal weapons stash he kept in his office. Maya might be weakened and sick, but she looked mad enough to kill, and Clary didn't doubt her abilities.
What the hell is with you?
As if from a distance, Clary heard herself speaking, and the steel in her own voice astonished her.
Werewolves? Vampires? You're both downworlders.
Werewolves don't hurt people or each other. Vampires are murderers. One killed a boy down at the Hunter's Moon just the other day.
That wasn't a vampire.
Clary saw Maya blanch at the certainty in her voice.
And if you could stop blaming each other all the time for every bad thing that happens downworld, maybe the Nephilim would start taking you seriously and actually do something about it.
She turned to Simon. The vicious cuts across his cheek were already healing to silvery red lines.
Are you all right?
Yes.
His voice was barely audible. She could see the hurt in his eyes, and for a moment she wrestled the urge to call Maya a number of unprintable names.
I'm fine.
Clary turned back to the werewolf girl.
You're lucky he's not as much of a bigot as you are.
or I'd complain to the Clave and make the whole pack pay for your behavior. With a sharp tug, she yanked the knife loose, freeing Maya's t-shirt. Maya bristled. You don't get it. Vampires are what they are because they're infected with demon energies. So are lycanthropes, Clary said. I may not know much, but I do know that. But that's the problem. The demon energies change us, make us different. You can call it a sickness or whatever you want, but the demons who created vampires and the demons who created werewolves came from species who were at war with each other. They hated each other, so it's in our blood to hate each other too. We can't help it. A werewolf and a vampire can never be friends because of it. She looked at Simon. Her eyes were bright with anger and something else. You'll start hating me soon enough, she said. You'll hate Luke too. You won't be able to help it.
Hate Luke?
Simon was ashen. But before Clary could reassure him, the front door banged open. She looked around, expecting Luke, but it wasn't Luke. It was Jace. He was all in black, two seraph blades stuck through the belt that circled his narrow hips. Alec and Magnus were just behind him. Magnus in a long, swirling cape that looked as if it were decorated with bits of crushed glass. Jace's golden eyes, with the precision of a laser, fixed immediately on Clary. If she'd thought he might look apologetic, concerned, or even ashamed after all that had happened, she was wrong. All he looked was angry.
What, he said with a sharp and deliberate annoyance, do you think you're doing?
Clary glanced down at herself. She was still perched on the coffee table, knife in hand. She fought the urge to hide it behind her back. We had an incident. I took care of it.
Really?
Jace's voice dripped sarcasm.
Do you even know how to use that knife, Clarissa? Without poking a hole in yourself or any innocent bystanders?
I didn't hurt anyone, Clary said between her teeth. She stabbed the couch, said Maya in a dull voice, her eyes falling shut. Her cheeks were still flushed red with fever and rage, but the rest of her face was alarmingly pale. Simon looked at her worriedly.
I think she's getting worse.
Magnus cleared his throat. When Simon didn't move, he said,
Get out of the way, mundane, in a tone of immense annoyance.
He flung his cloak back as he stalked across the room to where Maya lay on the couch.
I take it you're my patient, he inquired,
gazing down at her through glitter-crusted lashes. Maya stared up at him with unfocused eyes.
I'm Magnus Bane, he went on in a soothing tone, stretching out his ringed hands.
Blue sparks had begun to dance between them like bioluminescence dancing in water.
I'm the warlock who's here to cure you.
Didn't they tell you I was coming?
I know who you are, but...
Maya looked dazed.
You look so shiny.
Alec made a noise that sounded very much like a laugh stifled by a cough as Magnus's thin hands wove a shimmering blue curtain of magic around the werewolf girl. Jace wasn't laughing.
Where, he asked, is Luke? He's outside, Simon said. He was moving the truck off the lawn.
Jace and Alec exchanged a quick look.
Funny, Jace said. He didn't sound amused. I didn't see him when we were coming up the stairs.
A thin tendril of panic unfurled like a leaf inside Clary's chest. Did you see his pickup?
I saw it, Alec said.
It was in the driveway. The lights were off. At that, even Magnus, intent on Maya, looked up. Through the net of enchantment he had woven around himself and the werewolf girl, his features seemed blurred and indistinct, as if he were looking at them through water.
I don't like it, he said,
his voice sounding hollow and far away.
Not after a Drevac attack. They roam in packs.
Jace's hand was already reaching for one of his seraph blades.
I'll go check on him. Alec, you stay here. Keep the house secure.
Clary jumped down from the table. I'm coming with you.
No, you're not.
He headed for the door, not glancing behind him to see if she was following. She put on a burst of speed and threw herself between him and the front door.
Stop!
For a moment, she thought he was going to keep right on going, even if he had to walk through her. But he paused, just inches from her, so close she could feel his breath stir her hair when he spoke.
I will knock you down if I have to, Clarissa.
Stop calling me that.
Clary, he said in a low voice.
and the sound of her name in his mouth was so intimate that a shudder ran up her spine. The gold in his eyes had turned hard, metallic. She wondered for a moment if he might actually spring at her, what it would be like if he struck her, knocked her down, grabbed her wrists even. Fighting to him was like sex to other people. The thought of him touching her like that brought the blood to her cheeks in a hot flood. She spoke around the breathless catch in her voice. "He's my uncle, not yours." A savage humor flashed across his face.
"Any uncle of yours is an uncle of mine, darling sister," he said. "And he's no blood relation to either of us."
"Jace.
Besides, I haven't got time to mark you," he said, lazy gold eyes raking her. "And all you've got is that knife. It won't be much use if it's demons we're dealing with."
She jammed the knife into the wall beside the door, point first, and was rewarded by the look of surprise on his face.
"So what? You've got two seraph blades. Give me one."
"Oh, for the love of—"
It was Simon, hands jammed into his pockets, eyes burning like black coals in his white face.
"I'll go."
Clary said, "Simon, don't."
"At least I'm not wasting my time standing here flirting while we don't know what's happened to Luke."
He gestured for her to move aside from the door. Jace's lips thinned.
"We'll all go."
To Clary's surprise, he jerked a seraph blade out of his belt and handed it to her.
"Take it."
"What's its name?" she asked, moving away from the door.
"Nokir."
Clary had left her jacket in the kitchen, and the cold air sheeting off the East River cut through her thin shirt the moment she stepped out onto the dark porch.
"Luke?" she called. "Luke!"
The truck was pulled up in the driveway, one of the doors hanging open. The roof light was on, shedding a faint glow. Jace frowned.
"The keys are in the ignition. The car's idling."
Simon shut the front door behind them.
"How do you know that?" "I can hear it."
Jace looked at Simon, speculatively.
"And so could you if you tried, bloodsucker."
He loped down the stairs, a faint chuckle drifting behind him on the wind.
"I think I liked mundane better than bloodsucker," Simon muttered.
"With Jace, you don't really get to choose your insulting nickname."
Clary felt in her jeans pocket until her fingers encountered cool, smooth stone. She raised the witch light in her hand, its glow raying out between her fingers like the light of a tiny sun.
"Come on."
Jace had been right. The truck was idling. Clary smelled the exhaust as they approached, her heart sinking. Luke would never have left the car door open and the keys in the ignition like that unless something had happened. Jace was circling the truck, frowning.
"Bring that witchlight closer."
He knelt down in the grass, running his fingers lightly over it. From an inner pocket, he drew an object Clary recognized, a smooth piece of metal, engraved all over with delicate runes, a sensor. Jace ran it over the grass, and it obliged with a series of loud clicking noises, like a Geiger counter gone berserk.
"Definite demonic action. I'm picking up heavy traces." "Could that be left over from the demon who attacked Maya?" Simon asked. "The levels are too high. There's been more than one demon here tonight."
Jace rose to his feet, all business.
"Maybe you two should go back inside. Send Alec out here. He's dealt with this sort of thing before."
"Jace!"
Clary was furious all over again. She broke off as something caught her eye. It was a flicker of movement across the street, down by the cement rock-strewn bank of the East River. There was something about the movement, an angle as a gesture caught the light, something too quick, too elongated to be human. Clary flung an arm out, pointing.
"Look, by the water."
Jace's gaze followed hers, and he sucked in his breath. Then he was running, and they were running after him, over the asphalt of Kent Street, and onto the scrubby grass that bordered the waterfront. The witchlight swung in Clary's hand as she ran, lighting bits of the riverbank with haphazard illumination. A patch of weeds there, a jut of broken concrete that nearly tripped her up, a heap of trash and broken glass, and then, as they came in clear sight of the lapping water, the crumpled figure of a man. It was Luke. Clary saw that instantly, though the two dark, humped shapes crouching over him blocked his face from her view. He was on his back, so close to the water that she wondered for a panicked moment if the hunched creatures were holding him under, trying to drown him. Then they drew back, hissing, through perfectly circular, lipless mouths. And she saw that his head was resting on the gravelly riverbank. His face was slack and gray.
"Realm demons," Jace whispered.
Simon's eyes were wide.
"Are those the same things that attacked Maya?"
"No, these are much worse."
Jace gestured at Simon and Clary to get behind him.
"You two, stay back."
He raised his seraph blade.
"Israfiel," he cried,
and there was a sudden hot burst of light as it blazed up. Jace leaped forward, sweeping his weapon at the nearest of the demons. In the light of the seraph blade, the demon's appearance was unpleasantly visible. Dead white scaled skin, a black hole for a mouth, bulging, toad-like eyes, and arms that ended in tentacles where hands should have been. It lashed out now with those tentacles, whipping them toward Jace with incredible speed. But Jace was faster. There was a nasty snick sort of noise as Israfiel sheared through the demon's wrist and its tentacled appendage flew through the air. The tentacle tip came to rest at Clary's feet, still twitching. It was gray-white, tipped with blood-red suckers. Inside each sucker was a cluster of tiny, needle-sharp teeth. Simon made a gagging noise. Clary was inclined to agree. She kicked at the spasming clot of tentacles, sending it rolling across the dirty grass. When she looked up, she saw that Jace had knocked the injured demon down and they were tumbling together across the rocks at the river's edge. The glow of Jace's seraph blade sent elegant arcs of light shattering across the water as he writhed and twisted to avoid the creature's remaining tentacles, not to mention the black blood spraying from its severed wrist. Clary hesitated. Should she go to Luke or run to help Jace? And in that moment of hesitation, she heard Simon shout, "Clary, watch out!" and turned to see the second demon lunging straight at her. There was no time to reach for the seraph blade at her belt, no time to remember and shout out its name. She threw her hands out and the demon struck her, knocking her backward. She went down with a cry, hitting her shoulder painfully against the uneven ground. Slick tentacles rasped against her skin. One braceleted her arm, squeezing painfully. The other whipped forward, wrapping her throat. She grabbed frantically at her neck, trying to pull the lashing, flexible limb away from her windpipe. Already her lungs were aching. She kicked and twisted. And suddenly the pressure was gone. The thing was off her. She sucked in a whistling breath and rolled to her knees. The demon was in a half-crouch, staring at her with black, pupilless eyes. Getting ready to lunge again? She grabbed for her blade, spat, "Knock here!" and a spear of light shot from her fingers. She'd never held an angel knife before. The hilt of it trembled and vibrated in her hand. It felt alive. "Knock here!" she cried, staggering to her feet, the blade outstretched and pointed at the realm demon. To her surprise, the demon skittered backward, tentacles waving, almost as if it were, but this wasn't possible, afraid of her. She saw Simon running toward her, a length of what looked like steel pipe in his hand behind him. Jace was getting to his knees. She couldn't see the demon he'd been fighting, perhaps he'd killed it. As for the second realm demon, its mouth was open and it was making a distressed hooting noise like a monstrous owl. Abruptly, it turned and, with tentacles waving, dashed toward the bank and leaped into the river. A gush of blackish water splashed upward, and then the demon was gone, vanishing beneath the river's surface without even a telltale spray of bubbles to mark its place. Jace reached her side just as it vanished. He was bent over panting, smeared with black demon blood.
"What happened?" he demanded between gasps for breath.
"I don't know," Clary admitted. "It came at me. I tried to fight it off, but it was too fast, and then it just left. Like it saw something that scared it."
"Are you all right?"
It was Simon, skidding to a stop in front of her, not panting. He didn't breathe anymore, she reminded herself, but anxious, clutching a thick length of pipe in his hand.
"Where did you get that?" Jace demanded. "I wrenched it off the side of a telephone pole."
Simon looked as if the recollection surprised him.
"I guess you can do anything when your adrenaline is up."
Or when you have the unholy strength of the damned, Jace said.
Oh, shut up, both of you.